This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
It is not on my side. Khalas, if it didn't work, we'll just record and then give it to them. The people on the live will feel sad. It is not on my side. Huh? The hiccup is I can't go online. No, it is not. I don't see you.
So they responded.
Huh?
So they responded.
Yes, yes. Okay. Just a second. Okay. I have the password.
She sent it to you?
No. Auntie, did you send it to you?
No. But she called me.
Oh, so you have the password? Okay, okay. So sign out. Yeah, we are alive. We are alive. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, we are
alive. Alhamdulillah. Allah solved it. Okay. Already. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima alamtana innaka sami'un mujibu dua. So we're going to continue on with our Quran reflection, living the Quran, understanding the Quran. So we're going to continue with Surah Al-Mulk. I'm just going to remind you just because we had some break in between. So Surah Al-Mulk, and there's beautiful things, subhanAllah, every time you repeat something, you learn something, okay? So Surah Al-Mulk has four names. I don't know if I've said it last time, but it has four names. The one is Al-Mulk. The other one, Tabarak, lovely. Third, Al-Waqiyah. And the fourth, Al-Munjiyah. Fifth, this is the new one, Al-Mujadila. Yep, and I'll come to you. This is actually Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. So let's start in the beginning, right? The reason it is called the following, right? It's number one, Al-Waqiyah wal-Munjiyah, the Waqiyah protector, Al-Munjiyah the saver, because it saves us from punishment of grave. Rabbi lakal hamd. Then it has also Al-Mujadila, the one who will argue for you. I love that. Will argue for me because it's going to argue against the punishment of, or tell the punishment, like, just to understand, say to the punishment of the grave, don't do it to her or him, because they used to read Surah Al-Mulk. They used to read me. So she will defend you. Are you with me? She will defend you, or she will defend me, inshallah. Tayyib. What is the surah before Surah Al-Mulk? What's the chapter before Al-Mulk? Al-Tahreen. Why the Al-Mulk after? Raise your hand, remember? Don't forget that. Why? Bismillah. Anytime you want to see the connection, right? And some of the chapters in the Quran is very clear. I mean, anybody can check it. Anybody can say, oh, okay, this and this. But some you really have to dig in, and this is one of them. So if you look at the page before Surah Al-Mulk, which is Surah Al-Tahreem, right? The last page, in fact, the last three verses, Allah speak about two kinds of women. Yes, you all know the concept. The wife of Sayyidina Nuh, Noah, and the wife of Sayyidina Lut, both were wives of prophets, yet they were disbelievers and they were in the hellfire. Then the next one is the wife of Fir'aun, yet she has a house and her neighbor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. And the last but not the least, of course, the woman who Allah always praised her in the Quran, and always praised her in the highest level of praise. May Allah praise you and me this way. So what does this has to do with Tabarak? So the first word, what is Tabarak? We said it this last time, but just a quick review. Tabarak means glorify He. But why? بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. And of course, the hand of Allah is not yours and mine. But He has control over everything. And He control or owns everything we have. You and I don't own anything. Don't you say it's my house. In fact, it's not my house. Reality is Allah gave it to me. The house is owned by Allah. It's not owned by the bank. It's not owned by you or me. It's owned by Allah and He gave it to me. So what does this have to do with this woman? He owns everything. He can, by his wisdom and power, make the wife of a prophet kafir and the wife of a tyrant kafir stays in Jannah. And he can make the virgin deliverer and be the best woman. Because if the virgin gets pregnant, usually it is major sin, right? It's zina. But he can do all this. So when you finish and you're going to say, wow, really? And you say, don't say wow and really. تبارك الذي بيده الملك. Did you get the point? If you remove the Bismillah between the surahs and you keep looking and saying, there has to be a connection, there has to be a connection. There's a beautiful book. I don't know if it is translated, but those of you who read Arabic, is Al-Biqa'i, Tanadhum al-Durar wa-Suwar. He gives you the connections. He gives you not only the connection between the chapters, but he gives you connection between the verses themselves. And sometimes, especially if you're memorizing, this is usually an issue. Because like, what does this has to do with this? Well, because I don't know what Allah is telling you. So this is, the first thing is always, why it's called al-mulk? Well, because tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Okay, we have said this many, many times. The fact that there is the name in the surah, not necessarily, that's the reason. It's usually the meaning. What does al-mulk remind you? Think of dunya, think of this life. What does al-mulk remind you of? Power? Okay. But when you say a king, when you say king, when you say kingdom, what does it come to your mind? Power and wealth, exactly. Authority, right? Superiority, better than everybody, right? So when I read al-mulk and I'm reading the Quran, what should happen to my heart? It has to be awe. And who is that mulk? Who's that kingdom? Who owns it? Who has it? Tabarak. Did you get it? So when you read al-mulk, your heart starts to change. This is how you read the Quran, just by the names of the surah. There are surah which are going to make you smile. If you know the Quran, for example, if you know the story of Sayyidina Yusuf, you're going to say, don't worry, don't worry. It's going to end beautiful. Right? If you read, for example, Al-Kahf, you're going to say, you know, don't worry, maybe Allah will put you in a very small place. But there is a lot of khair, goodness is going to come out of it. Right? Zumar, the groups, has to be for everyone. You're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me of those who are going to get to Jannah, and Jannah is already open waiting for them. So the names, and this is very good for you in Ramadan. One of the things you may want to teach yourself this time, this Ramadan, is I'm going to focus not only how many khatma and not only how many times I read, but I want to see the names, what does it do to my heart? If the Quran does not change you, move you before it changes you, that means you need to dig deeper. That means it is way more than just you are reading. And by the way, this is to both. You know Arabic or you don't know Arabic. Don't you think people who know Arabic really knows the Quran? If you know Arabic, it's easier, but do I take advantage of what Allah gave me? Allah knows. Allah knows. And you may be somebody who reads the English, but read the English with focus, and every word means something for you, and take your time, and then when you read that, will move your heart way better than somebody who reads it in Arabic. So al-mulk, third question, and then we will go to the detail. Was it revealed in Mecca or Medina? Did you raise your hand? Did you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. I was hoping them, I know you know. Well, she said it and she said it very loud. So everybody heard it? Why it is, and you're so confident. Any chapter, the name of Allah, talks about Allah. I wouldn't say 100%, more than 90% it was revealed in Mecca. Why? Did you raise your hand? Please.
Yes, because at that time, it was written
by Peter. So at that time in Mecca, people knew nothing about the deen, knew nothing about Allah. Versus the people of Medina, there was Muslims number one, and there were real Muslims number two. Now they know, they know Allah. You don't need to tell me anymore, but I need to tell me, what do I need to do? The question comes to everybody, which phase we are living now? Don't answer me. Are we living in the Mecca time, or we are living in the Medina time? Both. Really? It depends, where are you? If you're in your school, you're in college, I'm in the hospital, you're in your work, you're living in Mecca. Everybody around you is different than you. People don't believe in Allah, don't know what Allah, people have no faith, people do things absolutely against everything you believe. Yes or no? So what do I need to stay strong? Wallahi, it's not easy. What do I need to stay focused, strong, on the straight path? What do I need? I need my creed, what's in me, to be very strong. That nothing outside will move me. And that's what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam, for 13 years. You all have to ask yourself this question. 13 years, if you include the 3 years where he did not go public. 10 years he went public. There was no salli. There was no, did you perform salah? There was no hijab. There was no fasting. There was no hajj. There was no zakah. Only salah came at the end, in the 8th year or 11th year, in the Isra, in the night journey. Why? That teaches you something, you have to apply it these days. If you don't know Allah, salah will be very difficult for you. If you don't know Allah, hijab will be impossible. Because you will be different than everybody else. Why should I be? This is a very common question, right? Why should I be different? Why I'm not like everybody else? Why do I have to struggle? Why do I have everybody looking at me and having all these whatever thoughts about me? But if Allah is inside me, well, I know Him. I know He's looking at me. I know He will take care of me. I know He's the one who gives me. I know Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. My answer will be, so what if I cover my hair? So what if I'm going to get up and do my salah? So what if everyone doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I am not doing it because it does not please Him? Did you get what I'm saying? So here I am, majority of the time I am in the Mecca time. But when I am in the masjid, I need to be in Medina. And that's why you see most of the, if not all, the Madani surahs, the surahs that was revealed in Medina, teaches you how to behave with Allah, with Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and the most important one is with community. And this will be the next chapter we're going to cover, Al-Hujurat. How to deal with the community. It's sad, but we hear it. Sometimes you say, and I'm sure most of you have heard it or you said it yourself, dealing with non-Muslims is much easier than dealing with Muslims. It's painful, but unfortunately, it's reality. And sometimes, I wouldn't say all the time, and sometimes it is true. I'm coming at 8, they come at 8. But if you are dealing with Muslims, I'll come at 8. You have to ask Greenwich time, right? Which time? PST time, Central time, right? Unfortunate. So here you go. When I am, now apply to your daily life. When I feel weak, my iman is weak, I need to be stronger. Go and read the Makki Surah. You go read Al-Mulk, you read Yusuf, you read any of the ones that you know well to move you, to bring you back, to get you stronger. If I feel I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm not practicing it, maybe I don't know, then learn the Madani Surah. Is that clear? Tayyib. Surah Al-Mulk, what does it talk about? There is no story in Surah Al-Mulk. This is also another way that you get familiar with the Quran. Ask yourself these questions. Anytime you're starting to read a chapter, is there stories of the prophets? Al-Mulk, the answer is no. Tayyib, is there names of prophets? The answer is no. Is there something for me to do, meaning order, don't do or do? Directly, no. Directly, no. Tayyib. Is there something about to teach me how to pray, how to pay zakah, what about Hajj, any of the faith, Islam, the pillars of Islam? The answer is, so what does it talk about? It's 2.5 pages. All of it talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly or indirectly. That's why it's Surah Al-Mulk, right? Meaning, when you say Al-Mulk, right? When you say this is owned by ICOI, so I am referring, my brain is gonna come and says, where did you get, where was the class? Was in the ICI new building. ICOI comes in. So when I say Al-Mulk, and who has the Mulk? Who has the Mulk? That has to do something with Allah. Clear? طيب. Come next and says, okay, what is the Mulk talking about? Meaning, I know now Allah. This is how you understand the Quran. Take it very simple, easy, step by step. It's not going to happen in a day or two. But then you're going to say, okay, it's talking about Allah. Talk about Allah what? In which part Allah wants me to focus? Let's put it this way. Okay? Is about anything and everything related to His sovereignty and His dominion and His kingdom. He takes you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in al-mulk, literally, quick. Move your eyes. You look up, look down, think, look up, look down, and think, and look after. Are you with me? I'll take you through maybe 3 or 4. I'm going to spend a little bit more time than I normally do with others because this is Surah Al-Mulk. This is something that we all know, inshallah, or planning to know, or we know some of it. So this is a clear? Tayyib. So number one, it talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His power, His creation, His ability, and who is He? And indirectly, who we are. Indirectly. Not by talking to the human being, but how the human being act in general. Why? One of the things that you know about Allah, I want you to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as I'm going to go through the verses, whatever Allah allows today, you're going to look at this. What does it talk about Allah? In which form, in which part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, talks about His knowledge. Talks about His power. Talks about His ability. Talks about His creation. Talks about His might. And at the same time, talks about His loving mercy. The combination is amazing in the Quran. When He puts one of His names that should make me, I wouldn't say afraid, but on my tiptoes. Second to it, a name that makes me smile. When you hear Ar-Rahman, what happens to you? Smile. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ar-Rahman, why you're making it so difficult, right? Like, when you hear Al-Aziz, All Might, what happens to you? Al-Aziz, All Might. Some of us will get scared. Some of us will say, hey, let's be more serious. So when He put them together, what is He? How He is introducing Himself to me? Both. And you choose, I choose, this is, I love this concept. I choose which one I want Him to deal with me. Are you with me? You have somebody you know in your life, so generous. Very generous, very nice, very sweet. But then they tell you, but you know what? With all these good things, but beware. If he or she gets upset with you, you're done. For example, I'm just giving you example. Do you really want to push the button of anger? Or if it happened, what people will tell you? Why did you push that button? Didn't you know? So with Allah, and Allah is exalted, right? I don't have to do things, as we say in Arabic, جبتها على نفسي. I bring it on me. Why don't I make him deal with me always with الرؤوف, the all-loving, الرحمن, all-merciful? Because it's all his characters. But if I keep disobeying him, keep doing things that he doesn't want, he's still الرحمن, by the way, but his rahmah will be very different than the rahmah when I am fully submitting to him. Is this clear? See how I am focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what Surah Al-Mulk is all about. You need, I need, we need to know who is he. And if I ask you who's Allah, I guarantee you, I don't know how many we are, 100 or more, everybody will give me his names. Next time I'm going to put it on this wall. So don't answer me, I can read it. But what does it mean to you? Who is he to you? Not to anybody else. Who is he to you? When someone asks you, who's Allah? I know you're going to say, he's my creator. He's the only one I'm going to worship. All these that we memorized, but we don't feel it. Am I right? Who's Allah to you? That, well, Al-Wadud, yes. But is it really Al-Wadud in your life? That's what I told you. Everybody will give me the names. It doesn't matter which name touches your heart. It's all his names. But which one you really are living? Which one you're living? Which one you're dealing with? Which one you call upon him? The more you know him, you know which name you're going to call it in what time. Okay, clear? Tayyib. The virtues of Surah Al-Mulk, we said it last time. I'm going to quickly go through it. So also dhikr, remind for everybody. There's three hadiths about it. The first one is At-Tirmidhi. And he said, an Abi Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, inna fil Qur'ani suratun, inna suratan fil Qur'ani 30 aya shafa'at li sahibiha ghufira laha. Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, there is one chapter, 30 verses, shafa'at, شفعت لصاحبها, it will intercede صاحبها, now that's the word. صاحب in the English language, in the Arabic language, usually mean friend, companion. So the hadith says, the companion of Surah Al-Mulk, question for everybody, are you companion of Surah Al-Mulk? Is Surah Al-Mulk your companion? The person who Surah Al-Mulk is their companion, Surah Al-Mulk is going to stand for you or for me or for all of us, Ya Rabbi Ameen, if we are all companion of Surah Al-Mulk, will stand up for you and me where? In the grave, where I really need it. And not only stand up, will intercede, but Allah will respond. Because sometimes you come to me and say, you know what, Dr. Rahifa, you know this person, can you please talk to her to forgive me? I did this, I did that. So there is a good possibility this woman will say yes, but there's a good possibility this woman will say no. You don't know what she did. But Surah Al-Mulk, that's not the answer. غُفِرَ لَهَا. You're forgiven inside the grave, where I really need to be forgiven, because there's nobody else with me, period. Neither my home, my beauty, my money, my children, my husband, whoever you have in this life, none of them is going to come with me. I need someone to stand up for me in the grave, Surah Al-Mulk. But is it going to stand up for all of us? No, because I need to fulfill what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, it needs to be my companion. How many of you have memorized it? Show me hands. Less than 20%. طيب. How many of you know it? Know it meaning, if I hear the imam reading it, I know it's Surah Al-Mulk. Including those who raised your hand. Less than 50%. I need some work. No problem. Don't despair. Don't feel down. Don't feel bad. On the contrary, Allah brought me here today. Allah brought you here today to know this fact. I didn't know it. Now I learned it. What do I need to do? First advice I'll give to everybody. Listen to it every night before you go to bed. Listening is a very good way of making you familiar with the Quran. To me, the best muqra that read Surah Al-Mulk, you will be very surprised. Most of you maybe don't know them, don't know him. His name is Al-Usi, Abdurrahman Al-Usi. I have never heard someone made me cry from A to Z other than him. Subhanallah, Allah opened his heart, Abdurrahman Al-Usi. Again, you may not like the tone, but I'm talking to you, me, how I felt. So the best way to get yourself familiar, you need to have steps. Those, especially those of you who don't know Arabic. Number one, listen to it every night, because who the companion of Surah Al-Mulk reads it every night before he or she goes to bed. Now it becomes my friend. She will stand up for me in the grave. Now, Ya Rabbi, I don't know it by heart. I will need time. No problem. Put it next to you. Alhamdulillah, with all the gadgets we have, put it next to you and let it play. You will get familiar to it. Second step is learn word to word. What does it mean in English? What does it mean in English? What does it mean in English? It's only 2.5 pages. It's not a long surah. How long it will take you to know half a page, word by word? How long? A week? A week? Let's say a week. It's okay, a week. That's 5 weeks. Done. This is before the end of the year. So the first is listen to it. Second is know the meaning before you jump to the tafsir. Before you jump to the books of tafsir, you will get lost, especially those of you, well, even those of you who know Arabic, where I'm going to start to, if you don't have a background on how to read the books of tafsir, you will get lost. So take it step by step. Listen, enjoy it, love it, know the word to word. And then if you, those of you who don't know Arabic, just pick up, there's not many books in English in tafsir. Pick one and then make a promise. Ask Allah till Ramadan. This is 3 months now. It's 3 months and 2 weeks. That by the time Ramadan comes in, when the Imam will read Al-Mulk, I know what it is. Plus this, that is going to give you an overall idea. It's clear, easy, possible. Now, nobody is saying anything. You don't need to raise your hand. Just say it. La, hadi inshallah, we agreed. We agreed on the inshallah. You know, the Muslim inshallah or the Islam inshallah. Ya Rabbi, you know what that means? Inshallah means not going to happen in the house. It's not happening. Right? That's the Muslim one. Please don't do that. Mothers, don't do that. Because it belittle, inshallah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. It's a verse in the Quran. How I'm going to glorify Allah if I'm using His orders as a belittle, and then the message I'm delivering to my children is, inshallah means nothing. I know you don't mean it. It's a habit. Some of the culture things that needs to change. She said, inshallah, meaning it is going to happen. And if it didn't happen, mean Allah didn't want it to happen. That's what inshallah means. That's the Islamic interpretation of inshallah. I'm planning. I'm coming to your home. I took all what it needs for me to come. But if I didn't show up, Allah did not want me. But not is like, I'm not planning to come. Inshallah. Just say no. What is the big deal? Say, please forgive me, I can't do it. Done. It's including your children, I can. Or you know what, let's talk about it later. But don't say inshallah. Right? The other one is Allah Kareem. That's very common in the Arab world. My nieces and nephews used to tell their mom, Allah Kareem, yes or no? Right? So don't do that. Okay, alhamdulillah. طيب. So the first one we said, this chapter, 30 verses, the person who Surah Al-Mulk, his friend, companion, she, if she is, if we're going to look at a surah as a she, will stand up, intercede for you in the grave. And the intercession will be accepted. غفر له. You will be forgiven, Ya Rabbi. Second one, right? Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said the following, and this is in At-Tabarani. Anas ibn Malik said, قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام سورة في القرآن one chapter in the Quran خاصمت عن صاحبها حتى أدخلته الجنة defended its companion till it will enter him or her to Jannah. You know when you hire a very good lawyer? And we need that. And they tell you, just go to that person, you will win the case. Right? And you don't tell me how much you're going to pay. That's a different story. Here you pay nothing. You don't need anything. You don't even have to call anybody or get recommendations. You don't. It's right here. Just open the Quran, 29 chapter, and the first, or the 29 parts, the first chapter, and done. Because there's two hadiths, same meaning that this, the concept becomes 100% sahih. It will take your hand and get you to Jannah. Why I'm not doing it? Third one, and this is also in At-Tirmidhi. This is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, what I told you. He called it al-mani'a al-munjiya, the one that prevents, the one that saves, because it will save you or me or us, ya Rabbi Ameen, min adhab al-qabr. Clear? طيب. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. And look at the name he ended in here. What did he say? العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. Now he's introducing himself, Allah, to me and to you by the first description. It's not a name. Tabarak. What is Tabarak? We said it before. From Baraka. Now, why it's called Baraka Cafe and the biggest mosque in Southern California? Because they wanted Baraka. And where is Baraka? With a little bit of effort, or a little bit of money, or a little bit of study, or a little bit of thinking, the result is way more than what you put in. You invest $10, it brings you $1,000. And you say, there's a barakah. Don't say I'm smart and I invested in the right. Allah put barakah. So tabarak is the sources from barakah. But Allah is always blessed. But this one is Allah is exalted. Only Him brings barakah. Only Him multiply things. I always ask people and they all look at me. I say 1 + 1 equal inshallah. Because if Allah wills, He's going to make it 1,000. That's the barakah. That's tabarak. So tabarak is actually glorify, blessed, awe. And then he didn't say tabarak Allah. In another places, he said it in the Quran. This one introduced him to you and me by his actions. Number one, biyadihi al-mulk. In his hand, and not my hand or yours, all the sovereignty of this world. What is the sovereignty of this world? Anybody? Okay, everything, but I need detail. This is how I think deeper. What is the sovereignty of this world? What is the kingdom of this world? Don't think of California. Don't think of the US. I'm talking about the whole world. What is this world that everything in it is owned by Allah? Come on, say it, because that's how you will start having the awe.
The whole universe.
Go deeper. هذه كلها general. Okay, this building. Those lights. The computer. The camera. Go out. All the cars you see when you leave. Okay, go on the highway. Everything you see on your right, everything you see on your left, all the cars that's going, he owns it. Go higher, go on a plane, sit on a window seat, as the plane is getting up, you start seeing more and more of this earth. Everything in there, he owns it. It's his. It's his. It's not I'm giving it, or he needs to earn it. A'udhu billah. That's you and me. He owns it. Everything, especially when you travel. And from the window seat, just look down. You know how we say, it's beautiful. Look at that. Well, look at this. Look at that. Yes, true. But I need to bring it here. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Everything I have is not mine. It is his. Everything on this earth is not ours. It is his. And then he said, بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Okay. And وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he is able and capable of doing everything and anything. We Muslims should never say, no way this is going to happen. Then I don't know Allah. Then I don't know Allah. I need to know Allah. Even my patients, when everything in the result says she will never have children. And I had this case, 21-year-old, no way she will get pregnant. Everything. When I delivered the news to her, I'm not going to lie. But the first thing I said, Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is capable. Innama amruna li shay'in. Idha aradnahu an naqula lahu kun fayakun. Allah said this in Surah Al-Nahl, the bees. He said, our matter, he, if we want it to happen, we only have to say be and it will be. But I have to believe in this fully with certainty. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. So what if this or that, even all the atrocities you're seeing, all the genocide that we have been seeing for a year and now this is the 13 months. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. He can change it. He's not changing it because he's wise. There is a reason. I don't know it. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. In a minute, everything that we are seeing can be changed. Everything can be changed. We really need to believe in this. This is why this is a Makki surah. I need this to be my daily companion. When everything, if not everything, most of the things around me doesn't make sense, it's very hard to swallow. Am I correct? Right? I don't want to get into politics, but you know what day today is. Right? And where we're going to end up tomorrow, Allah only knows. Both of them are worrisome. For us as Muslims, right? But ala kulli shay'in qadir. Ala kulli shay'in qadir. Even my dua. I need this in my dua. That I know you hear me. I know you can change it. Give me patience. Let me be forbearing till I see your ability with my own eyes. It changes your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing he talked about, and this is only in here. Only in Surah Al-Mulk, in the whole Quran. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He created death and life. Why? Why he come to talk about death first? Or death and life? Why didn't he talk about all these majestic things around us? And he talked about them in other places. Because he's talking to me reality. The only reality you and me know that nobody can argue with you. Is death. It will happen. I don't know what day. The only thing I don't know, the date. It's already stamped. I just don't know when the visa will be issued. It is. It's an issue. A visa will be issued to leave this world and go to the next one. Any country we go to visit, we normally have to get a visa. Either the visa at the airport, the visa before. Even if you don't need a visa, it's at the airport. There is somebody who's going to tell you, enter or welcome home. I need a permission. Death is the permission. Look at it this way. As many of the scholars say, death is actually moving from one room to the other. And the door will be open, and you're moving from one kind of a life to the other kind of a life. But we get scared because number one is unknown, and anything unknown we get scared of. Number two, we're not ready. I love that. When are we going to be ready? And there's a deadline, right? When I am 40, when I'm 50, when I'm 70, or whenever is what? So don't tell me I'm not ready. I should say, I know I am not ready because I did not prepare for it. Yes, none of us is ready. None of us is ready. But why I'm not ready? Why when I go to the exam says, oh, I'm ready, don't worry, I'm not scared. I'm very ready to go for the exam tomorrow. Why I'm ready for the exam? But I'm not ready for the biggest exam because I did not prepare. And please forgive me, I didn't take it seriously. The exam, I take it very seriously. The guests coming, I take them very seriously. The wedding, I'm taking it super seriously. Whether it is my wedding, my daughter's wedding, my friend, right? When I take things seriously, I prepare, I plan. But death, we know, but it's going to happen to somebody else. But it's not to me. I wish I can tell you this. No. كل من عليها فان. Everyone upon it, on it, it is earth, is going to perish. ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. And then he said, خلق الموت والحياة and life. Why, يا ربي? Right. He's going to try me and you. Somebody come to you and says, she's not your best friend. And you insist she's your best friend. What do I tell you? Try her and see. And then you're going to come back to me and says, you were wrong. She was the best friend. Or you're going to come back to me and says, you are absolutely right. She is not the best friend. Unless I try things, I'm not going to know. I can't say I am doing the best acts of anyone in this room can claim this. But he is doing this to us. Not only who's doing good deeds, pay attention to the word Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, the one who created death and life, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ to try you, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, not a good deed, the best deed. What is a best deed? This is for everybody. Two things. In Sharia, in this deen, things to be good and best has to have these two requirements. And how good in these requirements, now that's the differences. Number one, has to be for Allah and Allah only. Hadil, only a million lines under it. If you do it because I love you and I want to please Allah, that's not for Allah. That's not ahsanu amala. That's not the best. I want to go to the best college because all my friends want to. That's not ahsanu amala. I want to go to college because I want to be the smart Muslim woman who's going to change the opinion of other people in here about the Muslim woman because that pleases Allah. Hada ahsanu amala. Did you get it? Has to be your niyyah. Learn this. Your intention, why you are doing whatever you are doing, has to be for Allah first. Second, how are you doing it? He had these two requirements for a good deed. Why and how? Why has to be for Allah and Allah only, and you can claim, I can claim, whatever I want to claim, he knows. But then how are you doing it? I love salah. I love salah. Ya Rabbi Ameen, all of us. So therefore, I am my best in the I'm a morning person. And then I don't talk to me. Okay. So I'm a morning person. I love Allah. I am going to do Fajr 5 rakat. It's salah. It's a good deed. It's not ahsanu amala. Because that's not how we should do it. Did you get it? Don't invent the wheel. Because I like it, I love it, it's easy for me, everybody else is doing it. This is not what he told me. He said, do it for me and do it the way I'm telling you. Right? I'll give you an example. This is somebody said it. When you love someone, I love the concept. You love someone and anybody you love, doesn't matter who that person is. If you do what they want, the way they want, you love them. If you do what they want the way you want it, you are not sincere in your love. Did you get it? And all of some of you are, most of you are smiling because it's clicked. Don't do what you want to do because that's the best way. And they should be happy. No. If I really love them, imagine Allah, I need to do it the way they want me to do it, provided this is pleasing to Allah, of course. So ahsanu amala is the best deed. So all of us are sitting in this class. Who's ahsanu amala? I have no idea. Because all of us externally in a good deed. All of us externally are doing it the way pleases Allah. Where is here? The first one. Am I here sincerely for Allah? You can't answer about anybody. He knows. Did you get it? So my job, now take home message. My job in this dunya is what? Compete with everybody how beautiful I am? Right? How smart I am, how rich I am, how whatever I am. Where is my goal should be in this dunya? Knowing for fact 100% I am gonna die. Right? What is the goal? I want to hear it from anyone. Don't raise your hand. Just say it. La, to be the best in everything I do. Meaning, I'm getting to the masjid. This may hit home to many of you. I'm coming to the masjid for salah. Ahsan wa amala means what? Best deed. I'm coming to the masjid. What is better than that? La, bas aku 100 women coming to the masjid. Which one is ahsan wa amala? Think of it in Ramadan, because I know the drama that happens in Ramadan here. It's actually not here, it's all the masajid. But specifically related to our. What is ahsan wa amala? Just a second. I'm coming to the masjid. Don't tell me why I came to the masjid. The why is between me and Allah. Assume, inshallah, all of us are coming to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the second one is who is going to be better. How did you behave inside the house of Allah? You're gonna know what I'm gonna say. Where is your shoes? It's not funny, it's painful. Yani, is it gonna be that hard? 1 second extra, pick it up and put it in the 1,000 spaces around you? Have you ever came to Jumu'ah a little bit late? You need, I don't know what to do. I mean, how am I going to get into the musalla with all these beautiful shoes in front of me? You're going to tell me there is no space. Well, what did you do about there is no space? What action you took to change it? Leave the shoes wherever it is and then kids comes in and then somebody may fall? This is the first thing. I didn't say yet you are praying. You didn't even enter. You just went upstairs. Tayyib? And people are praying, and you find your friend. What happens? Exactly. And that's number three. All the discussions, loud, the imam is reading. And even if you're not praying, the imam is reading. Is that ahsan wa amala? No. Then the phone. Let alone. I've seen what I'm saying to you. I've seen it. It's not something I'm inventing. Picks the phone. Look at the message next to me. Pick the phone. Look at the message. Read the message. And then put the phone in her pocket. Ahsan wa amala? Ahsan wa amala? Praying in salah. Salah jama'ah. Imam is reading. Don't say, oh, as if you are exalted. Only him tabarak. See what I'm saying? أحسن عملا. Now, after the class, now we have only one exit. And I was waiting to see how we're going to exit this place. It's one door. أحسن عملا. You know what's أحسن عملا? You will let everybody go. Unless you really have something, you will let everyone go. أحسن عملا. This is what we need. This is how communities becomes better. It's not how many people come to the masjid. It's a good night. It's a good sign. But to me, is how many good people inside the masjid and not by their dress code. Definitely dress code is part of it because it pleases Allah. in their conduct. In their conduct. If I know who's Allah, and I say Tabarak, He in His hand, all this dominion, all this masjid, all this whatever I have, then I'm entering, is not my home and yours. I'm entering His house, and He is testing me on the spot. أيكم أحسن عملا. And then He said, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Now He gave me the two sides of Him. Al-Aziz is what? The might. What does might mean? You better be scared. You better know who I am. I have everything. I'm controlling everything. I can do whatever I want. That's Allah. And then Al-Ghafoor. Subhanallah. Do you say about somebody, she is really mean, but she is very nice? She is really hard, but she is very soft? Because we're human. But Allah, yes. Scares me, but then tell me don't lose hope. Scares me, but say no, I forgive. Just ask. Just ask for forgiveness. وهو العزيز الخفور. The last one I want to talk, because I want to talk about the heavens. الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. What is the sky or the heavens, as we call it? ما هي السماء? It's not what we see upstairs, above us. That's one. What is the sama? What is the sky? It's beautiful. He's subhanAllah. والسماء مادة لا يعلم حقيقتها إلا الله. SubhanAllah. It's a thing. Look at what how they defined it. We never dig deep in this. It is a thing. We really don't know what it is. Because the more you go up, still the sky is above you, but you're not there. People goes use, you know, rockets and everything. They're still not there. Number one. Some says it's actually an open space. Ya Allah. I don't know. Why it's blue? Ah, Bismillah. Yes. It's a reflection of the sea, of the water. 70% of this earth is water. 30% is land. So it's blue, right? So they say it's a substance, we don't know what it is. Or they say it's an empty space. In it, galaxies, planets, stars, the sun, the moon. خلق سبع سماوات. Now it's not one, it's seven. What is طباقة? This is the only place in the Quran Allah described the sky this way. You know what's طباقة? I have to show my hand, so I'm going to put this one down. You know when you bake? You know ملفي? Right? French pastry, very yummy, full of calories. Right? That's why it's yummy. But you know how it is? It's a layer and a layer and a layer and a layer and a layer. In between there is cream. A layer, a layer, a layer, a layer. For the sky, it's seven. One on top of each other. And what keeps them together, of course, is Allah's ability and Allah's power. But it's actually is also they are attached to each other. سبع سماوات طباقة. Only this place Allah described as طباقة. It's like a cover on a cover on a cover. Or like a plate on a plate on a plate. Now look at this. This, what I'm going to share with you, you really have to ask yourself, have you ever looked at it this way? ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. You don't see any discrepancy, inconsistency, deficiency. There's many ways of translating in the creation of Allah. هل ترى من فطور? It's a question. Do you see any deficiency? Answer me. Do we see any deficiency? And then, but your no is very low because we have not thought of it this way. How many of you love animals? That's it. I didn't say cats or dogs or whatever. I said animals. Everybody loves different things. You better start. I wouldn't say love. I can't force. But start paying attention to the creation of Allah. And the best creation of Allah around us, we don't have to do anything to see it, is the animals around us. Right? What do you see commonly here? Cats. Mainly dogs. If you walk in the streets, a lot of dogs, right? And coyotes, and birds, and squirrels. Bunnies, I love it. Yeah, our subdivision full of bunnies. When you look at it, ask yourself the question Allah is asking. هل ترى من فطور? Do you see deficiency? Look at the bunny. Look at the coyote. Look at the cat. Look at the dog. Look at the fish. Look at anything. Just spend 2 minutes. Look at it. Why the bunny's ear, this is small? Why the cat is this? Why the legs is this? The dog is bigger. Why? Because everything is due measure. For the cat to act as a cat, we need this. For a dog to act as a dog, we need this. And every animal in this kingdom of him serve a purpose. If you want to know more of this, AWI, the art in wilderness, honestly, the way she explains how animals complete this circle makes your, she explained it scientifically. It will blow your brain. And you keep saying, Tabarak. Look at it. And then Allah knows we are argumentative and we're too busy. And I didn't see. Farja'il basara. Look again. This is what Allah is saying. How many times you didn't see something, then you looked again and you found it? Then how many of you? All of us, right? How many times you tell your children, I can't find it. Keep looking. How many times? And then they say, I did it. You come, within a second you find it. Because you looked. هل ترى من فطور؟ فرجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسيا وهو حسير. Allah says, you know what? You want to go and find deficiencies in my creation, his creation? Go and look. Keep looking. You will not find it. Your eyes or eyesight here, البصر, eyesight, is going to come back disappointed and humiliated because there's no success. Are you with me? The first three verses in Surah Mulk or Tabarak teaches me I need to look for Allah around me. I don't need to be a PhD in Islamic studies to know Allah, because not everybody will do that. And he didn't want everyone to do that. Just look around you. Just look around. Look at the phone that we all are glued to it. In the phone, you will see the miraculous nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, this life is temporary. All of us will die. And the best one I want you to all leave with it today, ahsan wa amala. That's what's going to make you better than me. It's not how much I know and how much you don't know. It means nothing if it does not reflect on my actions. Sometimes and I will end up with this, Imam Ahmed, and every time I think of this, they saw him, Imam Ahmed, Ahmed bin Hanbal, of course, he has the Hanbali school of thought, he's a muhaddith, he's a master of hadith science. Then they saw him learning from Ma'ruf al-Karkhi. Ma'ruf al-Karkhi is a saint, almost like a saint, lives in Baghdad. So the people around him and his students said, you're sitting in his class and learning from him? What does he know? What did he say? كفى بعمله علما. Enough to me, to him, his actions, his conduct, that's the knowledge I want. If you learn something, I learn something, let alone I teach that thing, and I don't practice it, then I'm not saying we're all perfect and 100%, but the norm is I practice it, then that's not a knowledge, that's information. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live tabarak, look around you again, look up, look down, And always when you don't see anything that moves your heart, ask him to move your heart. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه تسليما كثيرا. We're not gonna pray Isha because I hope everybody prayed, right? I don't know what Karima wants to say. She didn't tell me. بسم الله.